2 years ago, the Panama Papers revealed relatives of China's President Xi Jinping were among the list of people affiliated with anonymous offshore bank accounts. International news broadcasters were breathless.
We're learning more and more about how the relatives of China's leadership store their money overseas.
Two more members of China's political elite getting entangled in the mess.
But these days, on the streets of Beijing, it's hard to find anyone who's even heard of the Panama Papers. Outside the subway station, a few hundred feet from the shiny pink tower that was once home to a Mossack Fonseca office, I buttonholed 10 commuters.
Panama.
Panama, Wenjian.
This man, like 9 out of the 10 I spoke with, had never heard of the Panama Papers. China-based corporate lawyer Steve Dickinson was not surprised. He said the government led a cover-up.
The only thing the government did was very carefully remove all references in the Chinese language from websites and from social media.
In other words, the nation's top leadership was concerned about how to maintain its reputation of being above corruption. Dickinson has worked in China since 1984 and has a wide network, including judges, lawyers, and private businesses with offshore accounts. His contacts would have been aware of the Panama Papers, but he says they shrugged it off.
I personally think that the people who run China all want the opportunity to send their assets offshore. So no one in China has a motivation to make a big deal out of it.
In a communist country ruled by a single strong-arm party, the playbook for dealing with leaks or any information the authorities want quashed goes something like this. Stamp out all mentions in mass media and online. Then lock up a few high-profile activists or protesters on vague charges like picking quarrels and provoking trouble. Or worse, charge them with subversion. This scares others into silence. Take the case of a group of anti-corruption activists. As China's President Xi Jinping declared the fight against corruption to be the centerpiece of his leadership, lawyers and activists jumped into action. They called for government officials to publicly disclose their assets. Sophie Richardson of Human Rights Watch says this did not end up well for the activists.
Many of these activists were essentially saying the same things that state authorities themselves were saying, except that the activists then got prosecuted for having released information that was considered to be sensitive or simply having raised the topic in the public domain.
At issue is who controls the narrative. And increasingly, China is using advanced technology to make sure the Communist Party keeps an iron grip on the storyline. Technologies like artificial intelligence are now enabling Orwellian-style controls that go far beyond internet censorship. Again, Richardson of Human Rights Watch.
We're writing at the moment about some technology that, in principle, allows authorities to know when two people who otherwise hadn't met before were suddenly meeting more than twice within a particular period of time.
So people could end up on a watch list simply by socializing with someone with critical views of the government. Though the government does not reveal the full extent of its snooping practices, researchers believe all digital communications can be examined by authorities. Increasingly, the country is turning to facial recognition systems to keep an eye on the public. The government has plans to triple the number of surveillance cameras to over 600 million within 2 years. In a recent demonstration, police in the southern city of Guiyang started searching for a BBC reporter walking the streets.
So already on this bridge, I can see one, two, three CCTV cameras.
Within 7 minutes, the BBC reporter was surrounded by police.
Hello, guys. I've been expecting you. Maybe these guys aren't in on the joke.
The police boasted they could match every face with an ID card, and they could trace any person's movements for the previous week, including who that person had met. Private artificial intelligence companies are also helping domestic security forces by creating a massive biometric voice database that can identify people in a conversation, as well as transcribe what they say. iFlyTech is China's leading speech recognition company.
So let's go to that place.
On this tour of iFlyTech's headquarters, foreign reporters were invited to watch a video of President Donald Trump supposedly praising artificial intelligence in English and then in rather remarkably fluent Chinese.
I'm very happy to meet you here on iFlyTech's annual announcement.
The company literally put words into the president's mouth by analyzing his voice and speech patterns and then using voice synthesis software. It's also developing an automated system to identify selected voices in phone conversations. Spokesperson Pan Shuai was reluctant, however, to address privacy concerns about how it collects voice samples. And he declined to explain the extent of the company's collaboration with domestic security apparatus. For example, do they also help find political dissidents?
We are using speech recognition and natural language processing to avoid telecommunication frauds. We have to obey the Chinese laws.
There are valid reasons for using such technology to fight crime or threats to national security, but China offers few protections for privacy, and its definitions of threats to the state are very broad. Again, Sophie Richardson of Human Rights Watch.
I think the problem with China's definition of national security is that it knows no bounds. What Chinese authorities consider national security threats really can include peaceful, protected criticism. People standing out on street corners saying they too want an end to corruption.
At international conferences and at the United Nations, China is challenging privacy and human rights standards enshrined as universal. And it's finding willing customers for its technologies among other authoritarian governments. Business lawyer Steve Dickinson has clients in the internet business who have lost contracts because he says other governments are attracted by China's package that includes censorship and surveillance options.
There's a war going on in the IT area. The U.S. and Europe are taking one position, and China represents a completely different point of view. And China is supported by Russia. And when Russia and China sell internet-related or network-related technology to developing countries, they sell their information control package along with it.
In the wake of President Donald Trump's America First rhetoric, China's President Xi Jinping has doubled down on boosting China's global leadership. His speech to the United Nations office in Geneva hints at seeking acceptance for China's authoritarian model of governing rather than universal values.
China is ready to work with all the other UN member states as well as international organizations and agencies to advance the great cause of building a community of shared future for mankind.
President Xi recently called for an evolution of the global governance system. It's unclear what sort of changes he has in mind, but historian Rowena He, who teaches at St. Michael's College in Vermont, says China wants a bigger say on the global stage.
The message is, okay, it used to be, quote-unquote, the West is the center of civilization, and now it's our turn. I think the ultimate goal is to use democracy to undermine democracy.
If Beijing's handling of the Panama Papers is any indication, one goal of rewriting international rules could be to give a stamp of approval to China's system of state censorship. For America Abroad, I'm Jocelyn Ford.